back in March, Women Offshore hosted an International Women's Day event with the Oil and Gas Global Network. We got to hear from a diverse group of panelists. Women from the oil and gas industry and the maritime industry were on it. And I learned so much from these ladies. I love hearing about other women's experiences on the water and how they've navigated these challenges. And one of the women who spoke on that panel is back today. She's going to be sharing her lessons learned and challenges from her offshore experience. This is the Women Offshore Podcast. I'm your host, Ali Cedeno, a mariner and founder of Women Offshore. Women Offshore is a 501c3 nonprofit organization supporting a diverse workforce on the water. This episode is sponsored by Endress & Hauser. At Endress & Hauser, diversity makes enterprises sustainably successful. Multiple women in leadership positions at Endress & Hauser Group launched their Women's Integrated Network Initiative together with their executive board. In a model project in the U.S., Endress & Hauser doubled the proportion of women in management to almost a third within 4 years. Diversity is crucial to companies, explains co-initiator Sandra Rupert, corporate director of brand management and communications. The more people with different perspectives get involved, the more robust, agile, and innovative organizations become. Endress & Hauser is a global leader in measurement instrumentation, services, and solutions for industrial process engineering. Learn more at endress.com. Women Offshore is a part of the Oil and Gas Global Network. Thank you to OGGN for supporting this show. We would not be what we are today, having the reach that we do with these episodes, without OGGN's support. Julia Henderson has been in the oil and gas industry since 2007, when she started interning with Technip FMC during her mechanical engineering degree program at Memorial University in Newfoundland, Canada. Upon her graduation in 2009, Julia moved to Houston from St. John's and started her full-time career as an installation engineer at Technip FMC, supporting major oil and gas customers in the Gulf of Mexico. Julia spent 3.5 years working offshore, installing, commissioning, and servicing subsea production system equipment. Julia has been in various roles within the company, such as front-end field development engineering, account management for drilling, subsea services, and for the last 2 years, she has been a project manager for subsea projects in the Gulf of Mexico. Julia is also an active member of the Women's Energy Network mentoring program and is on the board for her company's Empowering Women's Network. She's someone who really likes to give back to other women. And here at Women Offshore, we're grateful for that. Let's get started. Welcome, Julia, to the Women Offshore Podcast.
Thanks, Allie. I'm really happy to be here today with you.
Yeah, it's really great to connect with you again. I loved hearing you speak at our International Women's Day event. And I'm really excited to learn from you, you know, just more of what you have to say. So let's start out with a sea story. Please share a memorable experience from your career with us.
Sure. So my first time going offshore was extremely memorable. So I actually went to one of the largest semi-submersible platforms in the Gulf of Mexico for a specific client I was working with in the time. And I mean, I waited very patiently for this opportunity for several months to actually get the opportunity for us to do an operation offshore. You know how things go offshore, and oftentimes they're not per schedule. So you can just picture me, you know, a young installation engineer, just basically extremely anxious to get offshore for the first time and actually put my education and my training with Technip FMC really in action, and to get to see what I had been studying for and working for so long. So the call finally came. The operator was ready, and it was my time to go offshore. And so I would say that whole experience for me, just in general, to be called out and to be needed to go to perform an offshore operation in general, was a really exciting experience to get the chopper out, to do the tour, to do the safety program. And I was like, wow, like And now I have to do work, you know, because it really felt like that in itself was a journey and an accomplishment just to get out to a huge platform and to experience that with people. I was, you know, in my early 20s. I'm originally from Canada. So to get out in the Gulf of Mexico and to be part of, you know, the offshore industry here in general was quite amazing. It happened to be the month of August. So as you can imagine, it was very hot. And I went out. Oh, yeah. And my first experience was actually not something that I would consider to be one of the most challenging times that I've been offshore. It was actually a preparatory campaign in which we were going out to get some umbilical reels ready for deployment. And I remember it specifically being August because the location of these reels were on the top of the platform, which was like directly under the sun. And myself and my colleagues worked together, you know, day in and day out, working to just get the umbilicals ready, pressure testing them, flushing them, making sure all the fittings were correct. And like I said, it wasn't, you know, one of the most exciting, you know, scopes of work. But for me, the experience of just getting out on the water, being with colleagues and experiencing that offshore setting was really what makes it so memorable. And of course, the heat. I'll never forget in my coveralls and all that kind of stuff. But you really become part of a team when you're out there. And I felt like we were in it together. And I'll just never forget that first time I went offshore.
So many memories for me came flooding back as you were sharing that. And it's so true. Your first experience on a vessel is such a like long process to get out there. And sometimes you have to wake up incredibly early, 2 a.m. to go wait in the heliport. And you're waiting all morning to get your name called to go to your vessel. And you go out to that rig and it's just a huge adventure. And something that sticks with you. And regardless, like for the women listening who've done this in the past and maybe they've moved on with their career, once you've done it, you are a part of this community, right? Exactly. There's no one else who really understands it. Mm-hmm.
And I felt too that when I went out there on my first trip, it was great to have colleagues with me who had done it before. And I felt like there was a sense of pride and excitement that they had for me, you know, because they just knew that this was my first experience and I was so excited. And I think that they could reflect upon their first time and that in itself for them made them want to mentor and show me the ropes, so to speak, right? And so I really felt like I was supported on my journey out there for the first time. And not every time that I went out there, it was as exciting. And you know what I'm saying, right? Because when you really get into going off there on a regular rotation, it becomes second nature. And it's something that is just a part of your life. But the first time, you know, to the question that you asked, do you remember the first time? It is just so prevalent in my mind, the emotions that I felt and the excitement and the sense of community I felt when I went out there.
That's so incredible. I'm really glad you had that positive experience. It's not like that for every woman I talk to. Like sometimes they show up and people are afraid, oh, there's a woman on the crew. I don't want anything to do with her. They won't speak to her. And anyone would be lost, right? And wondering what's going to happen next. And I'm glad to hear that you had a really supportive experience.
I really did. And I do, I mean, I can't deny the fact that there were definitely some heads that turned to see that there was a young female engineer coming onto the platform. But I would say that to me, I was just so in my own, you know, mind setting focused on what I was doing that to me, that was just a part of the excitement. And, you know, once you go back numerous times, I didn't get as many of those, you know, surprise look because I was one of very few females out there and I knew that and everybody was aware of it. So for sure, it's a different setting, but I would say overall, it was a really good, welcoming experience for me.
Good. So how did you get started in the industry? You were living in Canada. Walk us through how you did you go to school to do this? What did that look like for you?
Sure. So I am from St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, which is East Coast Canada. We have a pretty significant presence in the oil and gas industry. And so when I started university, I began studying mechanical engineering. And during the time when I was picking my, you know, final disciplines and courses, there was a course that became available to me that was a specialization in offshore oil and gas within my mechanical engineering program. And so I decided to do that. And one of the main reasons I decided to do that specialization in oil and gas is because it was so prevalent in Newfoundland and Labrador. We're a province of just about 500,000 people. And so the oil industry was a really huge industry for us. And it was very prevalent to me. A lot of my family were involved in the oil and gas industry, and I saw the prosperity and the opportunity that it brought to the province. And so for me, it was encouraging to be around that. And I was really motivated. I really enjoyed mechanical engineering, but I was really motivated to do the offshore oil and gas specialization. So that's how I really got introduced to oil and gas, which is my specialty, and it's the industry that I'm still with today. So to get to, you know, going to that first offshore trip and how did I go from university to there? So within my mechanical engineering program at Memorial University in Newfoundland, there is a co-op program. So every 4 months after my first couple of semesters, I actually got the opportunity to go and work for companies along my educational journey. And so one of those places that offered me an internship was Technip FMC. And so I came aboard that company as an intern. My first one was back in 2006, I believe, and I did one here in Houston, and then I did one in Norway. And I worked in the offshore installation group as an intern for both of those internships with the company. And so then when it came to finding my job upon graduation, I was really eager to get back into the company that I had interned with, and I had a job offering. So I decided to come down here to Houston and take that position as an installation engineer and start my journey basically working offshore.
Very cool. That's a great company to be working for. I worked for them for a little bit and then moved on. But yeah, they're a great company. And I kind of wish I had stayed looking back because I know that there's so many opportunities within Technip FMC. So, and you're a prime example of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I felt like at a young age, you know, out of university, I was given an enormous amount of opportunity and responsibility, which for me, moving, you know, 3,000 miles from Newfoundland to Houston, I came here for challenge, right? I didn't come here to just sit behind a desk and, you know,
took a huge leap.
PowerPoint and Excels. And I really wanted the opportunity to get offshore. That was what motivated me to get through engineering and to leave my family behind and come here to Houston and start my life. And that was, you know, 14 years ago. And I really haven't looked back in such a way that, like, I want to go back home, you know, and live here. Yeah, this is my life now. I love my company and I've been able to make it work as far as still being able to see my family and traveling to see them and them coming here. So it was the right decision. But again, it just was such a great opportunity for me to get offshore at such a young age. It really helped to shape who I am today.
Yeah. Hey, no risk, no reward, right? It's about these big jumps in our careers to get ahead and, you know, take the opportunities when you get them. And I love your story. So what would you say you're most proud of in your career? I mean, I kind of feel like making that big jump would be something to be very proud of, but is there anything else?
Yeah. I mean, going offshore and working in the field, I would say would rank number one as far as what I'm the most proud of. It is what I always go back to when I am struggling with you know, identity or wondering, you know, what I should do next, or in a difficult conversation about my career or in a leadership discussion. I always go back to that because it grounds me and it reminds me of what I've accomplished in my career and how I did that at such a young age. Going offshore was definitely the proudest thing I've ever done in my career. And moving away from home and, you know, being able to do that, I look back on that and I'm like, wow, I did that. And it makes me so proud. And at the time, I don't think I realized how cool that was to do that at such a young age. And my parents, my family, they encouraged me so much to do it. And I do remember, you know, them, you know, worrying about me, but also knowing that I was going to be successful because I wanted that challenge and I wanted to move here to experience a huge hub of oil and gas in the world, right? Like, it was something that I wanted to be a part of and I wanted to experience. And so I would say the proudest thing for me was moving here and getting the opportunity to go offshore, spending several years doing that and really learning from it. The ups and downs that come with it, both personally and professionally, are, you know, the proudest things that I've done in my career.
Yeah, we know that working offshore can be very challenging, right? You're in an isolated environment. Be challenging for anyone, regardless of their gender. And women make up a small amount. Women are growing, but not really at the rate that we'd like to see offshore, right? We'd like to see more. And I remember at International Women's Day, that event we held, you did share some of the challenges you've faced. Can you go into that for us if you feel comfortable doing that on the show? What challenges have you had to overcome? How'd you get through them?
Absolutely. So besides, you know, living away from my family and not really having that network here locally that I could rely upon to kind of be my sounding board and my comfort place. So that was, I would say, one of the most difficult challenges that I had. But what I had to do to counteract that was to build a strong network here, which my friends and my colleagues became my family, right? And so, especially as a woman in the industry, there were few of us that worked at my company. And so I really became close with those women. I relied upon them for advice and mentorship, support. And it was really something that was hard for me to be away from family, to travel offshore, to come home to an empty apartment. But having that network of women at my company that I could rely upon to speak to about certain things that, you know, whether it was technical or whether it was, you know, relationships with people offshore and how to navigate through that to be respected in the industry, I think I was able to have those kind of conversations with them. And I'm really fortunate to have been surrounded by several of them. But that, to the point about like discussing with them some of the challenges that I was facing offshore, I would say one of the things, and I discussed this a little bit at the Women in Engineering event that I met you at, was some of those challenging relationships at work and not being as respected or having to prove myself harder than some of the men colleagues that I was surrounded by. So I was probably one of three women within my installation engineering group at the company. And then of us three women, there was probably 20, 25 male engineers. I would say the most challenging part for me was being respected offshore, as opposed to when people would see me, they may not have taken me at the same level as they would take a male coming in. And I know that because of the way that I was spoken to a couple of times about how I needed to tone down my smiling and I needed to tone down my happiness.
No.
And I needed to change the way that I presented myself so that I would be taken more seriously. And I got that kind of coaching from people who I look back on now and I kind of cringe at thinking that I took advice from people who I didn't know, two, were just not considerate of the fact that I'm a well-trained, educated engineer. They were looking at me like I was an inexperienced, you know, female that shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, they made all these assumptions.
They did. I really thought that in order to be successful offshore, that I had to change who I was. And I struggled with that. That was a huge challenge that I had to overcome during my time working offshore because I realized that I work at my best when I am myself and when I can have open dialogue with the people that I'm working with. And yeah. So when I was out there and I was afraid to ask questions, that is not a good situation for anybody, especially an engineer who relies upon a team to work together to accomplish tasks, right? I can't do things without my team. And so I spent some time trying to, you know, be behind the scenes, maybe a little bit more than taking the lead. I thought that that would be what would help if I just like told people like from behind what to do as opposed to taking the lead. And I just think that I tried to change myself and then I quickly realized that that was not the solution because being myself was when I actually did my best work.
What a challenge to navigate, right? And I've had this happen in my own career. And I think every woman I've talked to has gone through this evolution or has experienced people attacking their character and who they are because those people feel uncomfortable that a woman is in the room or on board or that a woman is being herself. The reflection is really on them, not the woman, if she seems too loud or too something. It's really bothersome because, I mean, I know that I've had to let a lot of stuff go that was said and just realize like I am me and that's enough. And I don't need to make myself smaller, but you end up going through this like process to get to that point because so many people have told you otherwise. I have never spoken to a man who's had to deal with that on top of everything else that they do in their job, which is already stressful. You may be working in a hazardous environment offshore, which makes it even more stressful. You're away from family, like with your situation, you're trying to develop this network to have some sort of support in a country you don't fully know, right? Because you didn't grow up in the United States and certainly not Houston. So it's just, there's so much to tackle. And then on top of that, people are telling you like how to smile or not to smile or to smile and how to carry yourself. It's just, it adds up. And these little things end up pushing women out because they're like, I clearly don't belong here if this is how I'm treated. Let's continue with these hard questions. What is something that you've had to learn in your career that was a tough lesson?
So this one is to always trust your gut. So when I was working offshore, and this comes from being a little bit, I would say, discouraged from speaking up. When I was working offshore during critical operation, I had to develop, in order to understand something like most of us have to do, I kind of created my own method for calculating something. And I was doing that on the side as we were running an operation. When it got to a point where we had to decide upon a final length for something, my method of how I was calculating this activity was challenged by a superior. And this superior was saying, you know, that's not the right way. I guarantee you it's this way. And so I listened to him. And in my gut and in my calculations, it was showing that that wasn't correct. But because he was, you know, had been out there for 30 years and because he said, hey, listen, I'm just trying to help you, right? I'm just trying to help you. So you really should listen to this. I decided to listen to him. And I think that in doing that, because I was the one who was accountable for the activity, right? And nobody knew that he pulled me aside and told me to do it a different way. The outcome was that I did it incorrectly, right? So instead of me basing my decision upon my calculations and then my instincts, like trusting my gut and doing what I felt was right, I chose to listen to somebody and I made the wrong decision. So my biggest lesson that I learned from working offshore is, you know, and in my career, I use this daily, right? It's like, yes, sometimes somebody will tell you something and, you know, a lot of the times you'll already know the answer and you don't need to investigate or something like that. But if you feel strongly that you are right about something, and especially if you have the documentation and or the calculations to back it up, you need to discuss your findings with that person, trust your instincts, have that conversation, even if it takes an additional 20 minutes or additional 2 hours, have that conversation, say, we need to stop. We need to talk about this. I don't agree with your method. I'd like for you to look at my calculations or my documentation and then make the decision together, as opposed to what I did in this particular circumstance was I went against what I thought was the right answer. I listened to somebody else and then it turned out that it was wrong. And so I learned from that greatly.
Yeah, that is a great but tough lesson to learn. And I think I've had to learn that too in my own career, right? You have this senior person who seems really trustworthy. They have so much experience. Why wouldn't you rely on them? But it's your responsibility. And every decision that I try to make, I've learned it needs to be calculated. It needs to be based on facts and data driven. And it's something that is also a process of learning. And you kind of have to learn it the hard way too, right? So that's a really important lesson. So thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about what's next for you. Looking ahead, what do you aspire to do with your career? What are your big dreams?
So I would say my big dreams as of right now within my company is to gain diverse experiences. So I've moved around within the organization to a couple of different business units, a couple of different specific, you know, specialties that I've been working on, because my ultimate goal is to be in a leadership role in the company. So I think a good way to do that, and what I've been focusing on, is to gain various experiences by doing different roles within the company. So I've done working offshore as an installation engineer. I did field development, which is upfront system engineering. I worked in our commercial organization as an account manager. And then I moved into project management, where I'm currently at today. And I think, first of all, that offshore experience and really seeing things hands-on within our company enabled me to get these roles within the company, because most of them are system-level type roles in which you have to understand the full offering of what we provide at our company in order to get these roles. And I feel that working offshore and actually seeing the equipment, learning how everything goes together, how it's installed, how you intervene on it, how it's retrieved, how it operates, that's enabled me to get these roles.
Awesome. I love hearing that.
It's true. And I gained a lot of confidence by having that offshore experience. Back to what I said originally, like, what's the best thing I've ever done in my career? It has definitely been that hands-on offshore experience, because I refer to that a lot. It helps my credibility within the company, and it also shows that I can work in extremely challenging environments and be successful. And so I want to grow to be a leader in the company, specifically within operations. That's where I'm really passionate about, is the operational part of the business. And yeah, just working to gain different experiences within the company, working with different customers, working on different product lines. I think that that's what I need to do to achieve my goal of becoming a senior leader in the company.
Awesome. I see you as a senior leader and making it to the top. So it's a pleasure to know you, and you have provided such great advice today. So thank you for sharing your career, your lessons learned. You are a role model for this community. So is there anything else you want to share with us?
No, I mean, I think that I shared a lot. I hope it wasn't too much. I'm really glad to be able to have this dialogue. You make people feel very comfortable, and I definitely really enjoyed this conversation. I would say that the last thing that I would share is that sharing my story and being desired to share my story, Allie, by you and others, to me, that in itself makes it worthwhile, because that means that people want to hear the experiences that I've been through. And I think that that means that they'll learn from it. And so it just is very encouraging to know that my story is going to be out there and it may help somebody. And so that's what I hope, because like you said earlier, I'd like to see more women in the industry. I'd like to encourage them to be part of our industry and to, if they so desire, to take that role that may seem daunting or hard and do it. I encourage them to do it if they want to, because it's really helped to shape my career. I have a picture actually in my office of me offshore on my first trip. And whenever I lose sight of, you know, sometimes just with everything going on, you've got COVID, you've got, you know, things going on in the world, and I remind myself of why I'm here. And I look at that picture and it's really my rock and my focus that I've come a long way and there's still a lot more that I want to accomplish.
That is so inspirational. Wow. For everyone listening, go after your career dreams. If you're on the fence, if you're unsure about what you want to do, but you want to give something a try, go for it. Julia is a prime example of what it can look like later on in your career. Someone headed to the top, in my opinion, and I strongly believe that, and so accomplished. So really great advice. Your lessons learned, our tools in our back pockets, especially the women coming up into the industry. Thank you so much, Julia. You're absolutely incredible. Let's stay in touch. Yeah, you have a great podcasting voice too, by the way.
It's been my pleasure, Ellie.
Thanks for tuning in to the Women Offshore Podcast. What did you think of the show? Leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Additionally, if you want to propel Women Offshore forward, please visit womenoffshore.org or womenoffshore.shop. Make a donation or purchase some swag. Until next time, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you soon.